We'll rejoice and be glad in it. And we thank you that the short time that we have together, Father God, that all the questions that need to be answered will be answered by the women, the quest and the hunger that they've had, Father God, to follow hard after you, Father, that they'll be challenged to go to thirst after you even more. And may we help them to understand the vast need of women in the world today, and that you've called us into the kingdom in this hour for such a time as this. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray and we say amen. Amen. Say amen like you really love him.
Amen.
Amen. With the Lindo sisters that sit here. Look, they are. How many of you loved the Lindo sisters last night? Oh, Sister Veronica, I want them to have at least 5 or 10 minutes with you. They love intercessory prayer. They do prayer walks. They said last night, are we going to meet the pastor's wife? I said, you'll meet her. So they were telling me last night while they're getting seated that this little one here that's throwing the kisses, all three of them were going to reach the Mindanao tribe in the Philippines, which is an Islamic tribe and an unreached tribe. And they had to go, there are no cars, there are no roads, so they had to climb 2,000 elevated feet of mountains on the back of a horse at almost 80 years old. And they had to go through the river on the horse to climb the mountain. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, you're tired at the end of the day, they're almost 80, and they're on to the Samoa Islands to reach some unreached people group when they leave here. And they still have Afghanistan and Iraq and Mauritania and Tunisia and the 1040 wind in their heart that they're going to these kind of nations. And I think they've done Ethiopia already, and God is just using them in incredible ways. Can we honor those that have gone ahead of us? I love them so much. I'm going to ask, is it Daphne? You're the one. Daphne, come very quickly for me. And just briefly, I know I'm cutting in my time, but just very short, you got a short version of one of the most miraculous things that you all have seen God do.
There are so many things that we could relate, that the miraculous things that God has done. It's a little hard to pick out one of them. But I think that the one that the Holy Spirit would have me to share is just how he confirmed the call to the Islamic world when we were in Nigeria by having us live in Nigeria for 10 years, although we did come back home on furloughs, and put us in the home of a Muslim family to live along with them. Of course, we had our separate homes. We were there as tent makers, I as a teacher, and my sister Lila, twin sister, as a nurse and midwife. And we were there working in this home, and I was teaching at the school, and as a matter of fact, head of the English department, and she set up clinics for the federal government of Nigeria in all of these federal advanced teacher training institutes. And we were living in this home with this Al-Haji, they call him, because he made the pilgrimage to Mecca, and that means that he's an Al-Haji. He had two wives and 12 children among them, and the youngest child of the second wife became sick one day, and he sent to call the sisters that they should come because Hadi was dying. His wife came and said, "Sister, Hadi is dying." And we were having our time of devotion, getting ready to go to our assignment that we had. So Lila, who is the nurse and midwife, said, "Joretu, we can't come right now, but I'll come as soon as we are finished doing what we have to do." And so she went, and we finished what we were doing. And after we went, we were finished, we went over to their house. By this time, the death wail had started. Hadi had died. And the way they were, you know how they have the mourning, and all of these things were going on, and the house was filled with people. Yes, oh yes. And the Al-Haji standing up in one little corner with his head bowed down. Now, we had meetings on our veranda with children just coming off the street. And we told them the story of Jesus as we have learned it in the child evangelism fellowship that we have with our flannel boards and so on. Children passing out the street saw us on the veranda and they just kept streaming in until one day this veranda was filled with children listening to this story. And during that time, the Al-Hajji just drove down in his car and saw all these children and he slammed the door of his car, he stopped, and he came to us and says, "Sisters, what are all these children doing on my veranda?" And we say, "Oh, Al-Hajji, we are telling them about this, a story." Telling them a story. He says, "A story about who?" And we say, "About Isa," because Isa is the name of Jesus in the Quran. He said, "Telling them a story about Isa. Well, let me tell you something. Nobody tells anybody call the name, any name, Isa or Jesus in my house. Now, I want you to send all these children away. They can't listen to no story about Isa here." We said, "Okay, Al-Hajji, it's all right." And he drove down to his compound. And as soon as his back was turned, you think we sent the children away? We called them into the living room. And we shut the door. And we finished the story and told them. And when we said, "Now you can't, you want, do you want to have Jesus in your heart? Jesus?" And all of them said yes. And we led them to Christ. And that's, and then they all left. And then he said, "One thing I want to tell you, you will never call any of my children to listen to that story." Because he thought we had dismissed them. He just didn't see the children after a while. But this day when Hadi died then and he said he wanted us to come. And sister, she's a nurse. "See what you can do for him, sister. See what you can do." When we went, we had to clear the way with the people. And Lila went, both of us, took Hadi up off the little couch we were sleeping on, held him up in our hand, and both of us. And Lila said to him, "Now, Al-Hajji, you said that the name of Jesus must not be spoken in this house. And that's the only thing we can do," because she took the vital signs, the child was dead. But she said, "The only person who can do anything for Hadi now is Jesus. And that's the only name we know." He said, "Sister, I don't care what name you use. Call any name you want. Use any name you want. It's not important what name you use." And so we prayed and laid hands on him and called the name of Jesus and we took him up in her hand. And then after a while, about 2 minutes later, Hadi moved. And I said, "What? Hadi's moving? His mother took him. No, nothing has happened. She said, "Give him some water to drink. When you give him some water, if he drinks, then we know that he's alive." So they went and got the water and quickly gave and put it to Hadi's mouth. And he just started drinking slowly. And then, "Oh!" The shout went up. "He's alive! Hadi's alive!" And we said, "Okay." And we just wormed through the crowd and say, "Bye." Because they started bowing down. Said, "No. No. We have done nothing. Not, it's not about us. No. Don't bow. No." And we left. But you know, it's the custom in those Islamic countries that when somebody does anything like that, the father takes the child. Both father and mother brings that child to your home 7 days. And they just sit. They just come and sit, bringing gifts to say thanks. And that's what they did for 7 days. And he said, no, and another thing, sister, I told you that my children would never come and hear that story, but now I'm going to send all my children to hear the story. Mm-hmm. And the children started coming now to hear that story. And now, for years after now, five of them accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They are now doctors, lawyers, from Amadu Bello University in Kano, which is one of the biggest universities. And we still get letters, continued getting letters from them. And they tell everybody about the sisters. So that's just one of the things, you know, but it's other things. But I think I'd share that.
Let's put our hands together and give the Lord praise. You know what I tell them? I want to be like you when I grow up.
Come on, these are our elders. Let's honor them. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. My granddaughter, Tia, is 2 years old. She just turned 2 years old last week. We shared the same week of a birthday. And she's due on my birthday, but with a fast self, she came a week early. But she's been on 4 missions trips at the age of 20 months old and never came back with not even one mosquito bite. And I thought about it while I was here, Sister Veronica. I wish I thought ahead some of the pictures that I was showing them in South Africa. But if you go to my Facebook, they'll be posted. And you'll see this little, not even 2 years old yet, going through the favelas of Brazil. And even one little picture where she's just lining up, giving love to the people, less than 2 years old. And one day she was going through the alleyway. The favelas are like the ghettos of Brazil, slum area, very dangerous. People living on top of open sewage. And she looked back. I said, I want to get the picture blown up. And she said, Yaya, come on, Yaya. Hurry, Yaya. We got work to do. And we took the picture, and she went on ahead of the rest of us and looked back at us like, will y'all come on? I say, a woman after my own heart. Amen. But we have to train up the next generation. And this came to my spirit. Would it have to have been last night? Last night was Thursday, right, Pell? You get lost with the days when you come to Living Word. Wednesday night, Sister Veronica, who was Wednesday night? Okay, it was Wednesday night then. And I looked at David, and I said, God used Sister Veronica to birth and to carry and to raise that young man up on nothing but the Word. Because God knew, they might not have known when she got pregnant, only they know what they was doing when they got pregnant, but watch this, that he knew that somebody would have to be the successor, and he needed a son. And she brought him a male son and raised him up in nothing but the Word of God, which positioned him for transgenerational succession. And women, what I want you to understand is, you think you just gave birth to a child, and you think you just have a son or you just have a daughter, and I don't care if they stuck on stupid right now, you got the right in the name of Jesus as the blood-bought woman of God. I don't care if they try to tell you I'm grown. I tell Lisa at 20-something, I tell Queen Lisa, the one I just took as a child, but Kareem at 31 years old, I tell them, I am still your mama. You are still my seed. I still have divine jurisdiction over you, and I still have the right to birth forth just like Jochebed did when she wove that basket and put that baby in the basket. And the wind of the Holy Spirit navigated that baby, and Jochebed was Jochebed. She had to be operating in some serious stuff, because how would it be that Miriam would just happen to be in the palace? Are you hearing me? That was an intercessor. You're not going to tell me an intercessor praying woman. Why do you think God gave us a womb? Why do you think God gave us a belly? One of the names of God, Elohim, it sounds almost like the one that God that sees, but it's pronounced a little different in the Hebrew. God allowed one of his names to be, you ready for this? The womb of God. I said, you love women so much that he allows one of his names to be called the womb of God. Then he allows another one of his names to be the breasty one. Come and suffer me, El Shaddai. So what you don't realize is that you are the female side of God. Doc, what are you saying? Is this religious dogma, heresy that you're teaching? Well, who do you think your nature came from? The enemy would want you to believe that the nature from a woman came from Satan. But you're created in his image and his likeness. Turn with me in your Bible to Genesis 1 very quickly. And if they got my DVDs ready, give me a thumbs up so I can know. Watch this. Whenever they're ready, give me a thumbs up. In Genesis 1, 26 through 28, we see where the co-dominionship mandate began. What do you mean, Doc, when you say co-dominionship mandate? A co-dominionship mandate, when God gave the mandate to Adam, he gave the same mandate equally to Eve. The Bible says in Genesis 1 and 26, if they can put that up on the screen. Londis, if they can do the Haiti one first, Haiti first. Can we get, oh, there we go. In Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every living creature that creeps upon the face of the earth. Keep going. And God said, let us make man in our image. Underline that in the Bible. Number one, let us, which means that there was a roundtable discussion, which means that you were considered and well thought out. It was a complete tribunal going on here. And so he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And I love God because, you know, how many of y'all are married in here? And I tell Sister Veronica all the time, there's a lot you didn't tell me about marriage. Y'all let me just walk down that aisle and y'all just let me, with my little happy self, have a big old international wedding, and Dr. Price Madison and Dr. Bill Winston pronounced the blessing via video and all, and had an international wedding with all the nations represented in different ethnic attire, different nations. It was beautiful. An Egyptian gown with a beautiful long train by a designer. Got married in Manhattan across the street from City Park and Central Park and everything, and rode off on the carriage and whatever you call it, and I went into the park and just went off in the sunset. And y'all let me just sit right there and then have no idea what I was getting myself into. And then y'all blessed me and prayed for me and everything. And then my husband was saying to me, he said, when I first met you at Pastor Bill Winston, and I heard you up there talking about a wives keep your mouth closed and how Peter said that like a lamb led to a slaughter. He said, when I heard that, he said, that's the woman I want. He said, what happened to her now? I said, I was an author then. I'm a wife now. I wrote that as an author. I wasn't married. It's a different thing now to live it out. So how did I get there? But anyway, God knows how men are. That's what I'm saying. Because I got saved at 21, so I really don't know about men. You know, 21-year-old girl don't know nothing about men. So now I'm learning about men and how they think and how they think from the left brain. And so God knows how they are and how we have to be a step ahead of them in prayer. Are you all hearing me? And so he said, let us put that back up there. God knows how men are and how scholars would have been. So look what God did. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them, as Tia says, have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and on all the earth, and over every living creature that creepeth upon the face of the earth. Keep going, 27. So God created man in his own image, and they stopped right there. In the image of God, this is what I love about God. He says, I know that you're going to try to make it seem like that it's just you, but just in case you try to get things twisted, let me make sure I spell it out and make it plain and clear who them is. And he says, in the image of God, created he him. He created whatever it is that he's about to create. He created whatever he's about to create for him. Create in the image of God, created he him, male and female, created he them. Say amen, somebody. So guess what that means? All those dominion things, all that assignment, All that mandate of subdue, all that mandate of have dominion, all of that, you are included. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. Which means there is no position. Now, let me make this clear. There are three sets of order. There's civil order, which is governmental order. There's domestic order, like in the home, the husband's the head of the wife. But when it comes to spiritual order, there is no male or female. So when it comes to the gifts and the callings of God in the areas that God has called you to, you are not subject to gender. That means that you as a woman can fulfill the call of God based on whatever arena or whatever area that God has called you to, and no one can stop you from what God called you to, because they didn't make you nor did they call you. Say amen, somebody. Say amen like you mean it. Now, why are women needed so much? The reason why, and listen to this, I love this. I love God. I love the way God thinks. First of all, out of the 6.7 billion people on the face of the earth, 80% are women. Guess what else? They live longer. Because we finally learned how to not let them stress us out. Watch this. And out of the 80% of 6.7 billion people who live longer, so most of the people on the earth are women and children. Now we're talking about how God looks at things. And if 80% of the 6.7 billion people are women and children, who do you think God is trying to recruit the most to reach them? He's recruiting women. Who has the responsibility, you all, primarily and traditionally, of grooming and training the mindsets, the value systems of the home? Talk to me. The mother. So the enemy wants you to think that your position is a lighthearted position, but every future leader that is to come, hear me close, women, every future leader that is about to be born or already been born or coming to the front, they were all in some way, for the most part, reared and trained and groomed by women. So that means if we could begin to think like Hannah, and if we could begin to think like Jochebed, and if we could begin to think like the mothers that are given to us examples, and begin to birth in and to groom up the type of future leaders that we want, like Sister Veronica fed him on the word and raised him up in a way that when his father got ready to say, you are now profitable, I now need you in this position, he didn't have to plow through all this other secular mindsets of humanism. Are you hearing me? Because he starts out on a breastplate. He all stands out already on, are you hearing me? From the word of God, and just build upon there. And I'm here to tell you, that's what God wants us to do as women, because the challenges in the earth today, that people in the areas where people are suffering the most, are areas that pertain to women and children. And so let me spell some of them out for you, ladies. For an example, do you know that amongst those 80% of women, of the 6.7 billion women in the earth, 80% of them women, do you know that most of those women live in an area called the 1040 window, which means most of the women on the earth do not live like you? They don't have what you have, but you are your sister's keeper. 80% of those women that live there, and let me spell their world out to you. They don't have access to clean water. They, write this down. They don't have, because remember, you're recruited by God. I gave this example in the earlier session with the pastors, and I want to illustrate it very briefly here. Watch this. There's a line of demarcation here. There's a dark color carpet on this side. There's a light color carpet on this side. Before you come to God, you have a choice. The Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So guess what? He says, those that come to God must believe that he is. You have a choice as to whether to come to God or not. You had a choice as to whether to get saved or not. You had a choice as to whether to answer the call of God or ministry. But the moment you came to him, and the moment you got saved, and the moment you accepted the call, you abdicated your opportunity for other choices. Because the moment you now came to him, you first have to believe he is. Then you have to believe he's a rewarder. Not just a rewarder, but of those who what?
Diligent.
Those who what?
Diligent.
Those who what?
Diligent.
So now you've crossed over. You say you saved. I be saved, Miss Daisy. You saved, okay? Then guess what happened when you got saved? You crossed over into another line. It's called greener pastures. You gave up your will. You gave up your desires. You gave up your ambitions. You gave up. Are you hearing me? and you took on his nature, his ability, his heart, his dream. Are you hearing me? So now you've stepped over, and now you're over in a realm where you said, Lord, here am I, Lord, use me. Here am I, Lord, I belong to you. In Arabic is analik, I belong to you. So now that you belong to him, we now have to find out, where do you need me the most? Where do you need me as a woman of God the most? I need you in the public school systems. I need you helping young girls that have their sexual identity twisted, and the young girls have taken it as a fad to be kissing on each other. I need you to help raise up sons that know how to treat women with respect and learn how to honor a woman of God, and that his success in life is based on how he treats his wife. I need you in the Middle East. I need you where women don't have a voice, where women are being beaten, where women have no voice and no one to defend them. I need you to help make a difference in the world. Someone take care of this for me. I need you in the parts of the world where 80% of the people do not have access to clean water. I need you to be the type of woman that cares about the fact that most of these women have no access to health care. I need you to be concerned about the fact and to make a difference while you're called into the kingdom for such a time as this. Not just shopping at malls, not just consuming everything on your own lust, not spending every penny that comes in your hand, not spending all your time propping up your own image, not spending all your time trying to find somebody to fulfill your needs and validate you. I need you to be the type of woman that is concerned about the fact that they don't have access to health care, they don't get a pap smear, they don't get a physical, they don't get to go to school. Are you hearing me? Yes. Or else why would he make a woman? You're uniquely made. You're so unique. Who said that? Did you hear? And is she? Oh, that's so adorable. It's a little boy. You go, brother. Did you hear that? Amen. And a little child shall lead them. Amen. So how does the Father need us? He needs us because 10 million children are sold into child prostitution every year. So this is how I envision, Dr. Veronica. This is how I see God. I see God looking down from his holy habitation from heaven, and his eyes are going to and fro throughout the earth, looking for someone that would be a candidate, that would say, God, I feel your heart. I've captured your heart in prayer. I've touched you. I know me and you know how to, how many of you know how to go there with the Lord? And how about them places he take you to where your husband can't even take you? Don't get me started. And I've been there with you in the secret place. And he says, who will take that into the marketplace, into the school systems, to the young girls and the young boys, and into the nations where they have no voice? They're dying between the ages of 38 to 42 because of a lack of clean water. Does it matter to you women that in your lifetime, will you leave a legacy behind that you were the one that put an end to the lack of clean water when it can be provided for 12 cents a day? Who will be the generation of women that say, enough is enough? Let me break it down so you can understand what I'm saying. There was a woman by the name of Mary Magdalene O'Hara, the one that did prayer out of school. They sat around a kitchen table, probably not much bigger than this, probably smaller, and started meeting and having tea together, and decided, we're gonna take prayer out of the school. We're gonna push the abortion mandate. And they changed not just a nation, but the nation that they changed in Dumi would happen to be a nation that other nations would model. So what they did changed a nation and nations. So if they could do that from a negative position, how much more we women of God, who according to Genesis is created in his image, created in his likeness, to have dominion. So what I came to say to you today, there's more in you than you know. The ability, it came to me while I was over at the prophet's quarters, the name of a new book, you guys walk for it. The potential of a woman. I see that. The potential, what was in the mind of God when he created himself a woman? And what did he want her to do? What was she created for? And in this part of the world, these children are sold into prostitution, $10 million a year. Who do you think that God may be trying to recruit to do something about that? Apparently, it's been going on all this long, and maybe the other gender persuasion has not seen it as their priority to do something about it. With the UN, and with UNICEF, and with all these other NGO organizations like CARE, and the list goes on and on and on. They spend billions of dollars. And yet, healthcare, education, clean water, basic needs are not being met. So I say that God didn't give the assignment to them. He gave that to Isha. Isha is your Hebrew name of what you were first called by God. And I dare you to study out what it means. It's like a type of the Holy Spirit, like a model of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is your helper and your paraclete. Isha is the paraclete. She's the helper. So what God says, when I need to get something done, when I don't need to go through all this bureaucracy and red tape and reasoning and rationalizing things and waiting to feel it, get me a woman. Get me some Lindo sisters that'll just go up in the home of a Muslim, a Haji Muslim. When he said, you can't call the name of Jesus, they said, we gonna call that name. He said, put the children out. We put them children out. They gonna go ahead on, and then we'll dare to believe God. Amen. That's what God put on in the inside of us, to be able to be nurturers and couriers of life. We are the ones that determine the moral climate of a nation. Hear me, I want to drive this into your spirit, women. You're not operating in the role and the place that you've been called to. We can shut this thing down today concerning the immorality of lesbianism. We can shut this thing down. Because watch this, they just keep taking more ground, more ground, more ground, more ground. And we know it's not right. When are we going to say enough is enough? Yes. When are we going to say, I can't be satisfied? I don't know when they're going to get this DVD ready up there, but the Haiti one for the clean water. Give me a thumbs up whenever it's ready. It's ready. Thank you, Edwin. How many of you in your household, be honest, you and the kids, open up this, drink about maybe three quarters of it. You find a bottle here. Yes, in the other room, you find a bottle there. Come on, talk to me. Am I telling the truth? If I'm talking about you, raise your hand. And the sad thing about it is, we don't even think anything about it. You know why? Because we have access. Say it.
Access.
And guess what your mind has been programmed to believe in this country, especially from this country? There's more where that came from. There's no major price to be paid for that. But if your body in countries like Western Sahara, where we go into the Sahara Desert 100 and almost 50 degrees in the year of 1920, was peaked 150 degrees Fahrenheit, and over a quarter of a million refugees, I wish I could take y'all with me. And you see these leathered baby skins and people, their bodies have never been immersed in water in life. And I remember, because we're all ladies, I remember the first time I went in, and you know, in those days I had a cycle, if you know what I mean. It's all women, right? I don't have one no more. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just love being real, okay? But at that time, we would always gauge as missionaries. I'm just bringing it to our world. Yolanda and the girls will tell you, when we plan a trip, am I going to be on? So you got to think about that, because men don't have to think. Are we talking to women?
Yeah.
Don't you, some of y'all still have a cycle?
Yes.
Don't be looking at me like that. So you gotta think of things like that. And I'm saying graphic things like this, first of all, to be real with you, to help you understand what life is like for them. So it's 100 and something degrees, and we're trying to think, there's no proper toilets, you can't flush. I wanna wash myself, especially that time. I don't wanna shower, I want to immerse this rump in water. So I feel clean. Anybody feel me? But in Haiti, since the earthquake, am I right about it, Mama June? It's been a year. a year, over a year, a year and 2-3 months. Yes. And many women and many people still living in a tent. Yes. On the side of the road, and their bodies have, yes, never been immersed in water. So when we started going in and doing the clinics monthly, we saw a lot of infection. So we got our women together, and we have something called SOUL, Sisters Empowering the World. We'll make sure you all get the flyers. And we called up a group of women that I know I can count on, like Sister Veronica and Tracy Bernard and different women. I called them up and I said, y'all, we gotta move, and we gotta move fast. Now watch this, women. How many of you women are pastor's wives here? There are some things that pertain to women, and when things happen, you don't have time to go through this kind of board and that kind of board and that. That's why you need to have your own women's fellowship that's developed your own budget. Are you hearing me? So that when something needs to take place and certain people at a point of either dying or being infected, you can move quick. Are you hearing me? We're not talking about in defiance to headship in any kind of way, but I'm talking about be in a state of readiness. And disaster is called a state of readiness. That I don't have to wait for 3 weeks for a board to vote and you get back with me and tell me whether you can help me get some antibiotics to these women. So I may started making phone calls, Val and the team, and women started helping. They started bringing antibiotics to me from everywhere so that we can get in, because when the NGO doctors went and performed the surgeries, a lot of them, they amputated people that did not need to be amputated. And they didn't know when they prescribed the heavy antibiotics for people, for the women, the side effect would be the yeast infection and the vagina. Are you all with me? And then on top of that, they were talking about how the women's bodies have been infected. But as a woman, I went an extra step and said, but what about, because I'm thinking about, yes, but what about the fact you infected, you're itchy, it's hot, yes, you don't feel clean, and you can't take a bath. That's enough to make you just want to go off, yes, on somebody alone and be edgy to the kids. Yes. So in the Sahara, so that was the earthquake with Haiti. But in Western Sahara, they've been out there in that desert for 37 years, stranded trying to get back in their home country. And I feel the women. So we built a literacy center. Would you all like to know how much the literacy center costs for me to build so the next generation of young girls can go to school? $2,000. That's 20 women giving $100. Do you see how God is going to hold us accountable?
Yes.
So a whole generation can now be educated. And then you spend that at the mall. You spend more than that at the mall. Look at the things that we can do. There's certain things that is never going to be addressed unless women, because you got to think from the mind frame of a woman. And so these women that are out there, most, now watch this, go back to the strategy of God. Most of the 6.7 billion people on the face of the earth are women and children. If the women of God would just rise up and say, I am my sister's keeper, and what affects you affects me, and what touches you touches me, and what I want for me, I want for you, and what I make happen for you, God will make happen for me. And if I don't do nothing else on earth, then we become the generation of women, just like these women took prayer out of the school, we will be the generation of women that we don't do anything else. When they interview me sometime, I said, if I don't do anything else, and I'm signature for nothing else in my lifetime, being in Sudan, being in the deserts of Western Sahara, and trying to figure out, where do you bury a sanitary napkin in the desert? Do you have a sanitary napkin in the desert? What do you do? I care.
Yes.
It matters.
Yes, it does.
It matters to me that your children, that the body has to have water to function properly, and it even affects the brain. So I want to say that if I got bottles in my house all around empty and unopened and have empty bottles of water, then if I didn't do anything out of an act of stewardship and responsibility, that I say, when you open up a bottle, drink it all, or either take the other half, you're gonna finish this bottle, we're gonna stop wasting it, we're gonna begin that. Every time I open up a bottle of water and every time I get ready to drink it, I am reminded the least I can do when I'm drinking it is to pause and pray for those who don't have it. Somebody say stewardship. So when we got to Haiti and we saw so many people with all that Haiti money, they still don't have clean water. Let us show the DVD. 700 miles from our border.
To bringing clean water in developing countries. I cannot tell you how many times we've come in contact with adults and children and pigs and animals and feces all in the same water. water that is contaminated with tons of bacteria, and we are determined to bring clean water and life to them. Clean water is life. When we provide them clean water, we're providing them life. Let us show you how the BioSand filter works. This is our strategy in bringing clean water to the nations of the earth.
You can first look at the water, and you see how the BioSand filter works. This is the quality of the water. You can see the turbidity and the contamination that is there. We're going to pour the water into this BioSand filter, and then you can watch what comes out of it. You can compare and see the water that is coming out of this BioSand filter is very clear. And for your information, this water is ready to drink. All the contamination has been cleansed through the biofilm that is in this BioSand filter. I can drink and I'm comfortable that the water is very good and it is potable. Thank you.
We take for granted something as simple as clean water. And I believe that what we make happen for others, God will make happen for us. Every time we drink a glass of clean water, we have to remember that there are those who have no access to clean water. When we consider that 60% of the body is comprised of water, we can reach 700 families in the villages around nations. One drop at a time.
We can do
one
it.
One family at a time. And as each one reach one, we can make a difference. One family at a time. One drop at a time.
Let's give the Lord praise. Those are the filters from the company there we use. On the product table, there is a package like this. We brought some in here as well. And I'm asking the women, nobody's under compulsion. It's a series called Women in Ministry. It's about 5, 6, 7 CDs or whatever, and a cute little package for you. Not that we should really have to say, if you in buying our materials, this is what we're going to do with the money. Because we're not only doing this in Haiti, but we have three other missions as well, one in South Africa, and Indumi just happens to be here. Thank God we're going to do something to help to empower the women in South Africa. And we just recently heard a story of a little girl as well that was 2 years old. Was she Indumi? She was raped at the age of 2 by her blood uncle, and she's now 4 years old. And according to the doctors, she has C4 full-blown AIDS. And when Indumi got to her, on her little vaginal area, from the lip to the back, a full pussy runny warts. She has to wear diapers. And the only thing this little girl is guilty for, and she's not really guilty for that, and I would say is being born. And I told Indumi, you know what? There are some things that you don't even have to pray about. As a woman of God, my righteous indignation, because my grandbaby is 2. And I thought about for somebody to rape my little grandbaby and infect her with AIDS knowingly and have to still live in the house with the uncle because the grandmother doesn't have a home. So I said, Indumi, how much is it going to be to build her a home? And I think they said a home is like $5,000 to get her out of the townships of Soweto. And then I said, how much is the operation going to be for the little girl? Because first of all, I'm going to get the Lindo sisters to come together with me, and we believe that AIDS is leaving the body. And then I said, but then to get her out of their home, $5,000. I was like, that's no money. And I said, we ought to be known in this generation. We ought to be signature to this generation. Hear me, Sister Veronica. I say to myself, if Angelina Jolie, if Oprah Winfrey, and if all these women could be the voice of humanitarian aid and crisis, and they're the ones that are seen as the philanthropists and humanity, the ones who care about suffering people, what we ought to go out in this time is being the generation of women that changed the age, that pivoted things and turned things, and watch this, that did not raise up a generation of children of pampered emptiness, that we raised up global leaders leaders that have a compassion for the suffering, that have a compassion for the hurting, and that they're not satisfied with just getting the latest iPad and iPod and cell phone. And are you hearing me? But we've raised up a group of conscious, global conscious people of the needs of other people, and we're good stewards over what God has placed in our hand. And we realize that when they suffer, we suffer. What we make happen for them, God will make happen for us. That we change the way women ministry is done, and we change the way youth ministry is done, and we change the way children's church ministry is done. We begin to teach our babies at an early age, just like the Muslim women do, that you call not to take sides, but you were born to take over, and that you're called to nations, and that God's going to use you to feed nations, and God's going to use you to bring solution to nations that the UN has never been able to do. And let me talk to you, Sarah. Let me explain to you that God's going to use you just like he used the women of old in the Bible to be the one that you'll be the one that will be the deliverer. You'll be the one. Just think, God, perhaps Moses' mother might have never known, and maybe she did, because I just got some very, I think this woman was prophetic. She was carrying the deliverer of Israel, and then Mary was carrying the deliverer of the world. Can you imagine, Mary? The baby that she's now carrying will one day carry her. The baby that you gave birth to one day, you don't know what they're gonna give birth to. I'm trying to tell you, you don't know what manner of woman God's called you to be. I visualize in my lifetime going into entire villages, going into entire cities, and we bring our resources together and we do so much tangible, practical manifestations, adopting projects, that it doesn't matter whose name is on the project and it doesn't matter whose 501(c) is covering it, but then we all combine our efforts together. One of the things that I saw in working in these other regions, they're not so concerned about whose name is on it, but everybody bring their resources together. Put this down, Acts 4:32. Latasha's gonna love this. The Bible says that the people brought their resources together. They sold their houses. They sold some of the things that they had, and they took their resources in Acts 4:32, and they placed it at the apostles' feet. And the Bible says because of this community effort of apostolic giving and apostolic accountability, that people were walking in financial integrity and financial character, and everything they had belonged to the Lord. There was nothing that was their own. The Bible says in Acts 4 chapter that there's nothing they call their own. Yeah. They didn't. And you think about people today, everybody that do something in the church want to be paid. Yeah. And then you got people in the church that want to be paid and got a nerve to go give God half-hearted work. We're talking about our Messiah.
Preach. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen.
We should want to do it because it's the right thing to do. And I think it's a reproach that we've not left a model yet to our daughters. We've not left a model yet to our daughters. That's why I'm taking Tia and say, see, ya is Greek for grandma, because you know, I just ain't ready to be called a grandmama yet, okay? In Greece, we'll call it another name, okay? But I want her to see Yaya. I want her to see Yaya loving people, feeding people, caring for people. So when she grow up, she'll say, this is what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to just have. You're supposed to care for those who have not. And I tell you, you take them young. You model it to them young. You start putting that word in them young. You may not think they're getting it. Sister Veronica, start speaking nations to them now. Begin to speak. When they come over to y'all, come to grandma's house, honey, you begin to get them off to the side, even if their parents not walk with the Lord. You start speaking, and you're called to deliver nations. You begin to speak it, and you begin to lay hands with you. Y'all, you know what? Y'all go club, go party. Bring the babies on over. That's what my grandmother did. Bring them babies over here. I'll keep them. You get you some more, slap them with some more, just pray for nations over them. And then guess what else you do? This is one of the things we've done. You make sure you get these packages. We got all that in there about praying and stuff. But we got the maps here that profiles the nations. And somebody will do this. Maybe, you know, somebody will grab it. And I think it should be a thing that we can do where it's like a game. And you sit the little kid down and you have these different, you got to show them early the faces of different people. Don't let them grow up in a black and white world. So I'm showing Tia now what Fulanis look like. I'm showing her now, are you all hearing me? I'm showing her now what Sahararis look like.
and say it to you, Saharari, Saharari, say Saharari, 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 roll it to Saharari. Yeah, Tia. Now, let's pray. This is the site. Let me show you where they live. This is where Hasarari live. Now, we're going to lay hands, have a little go. We're going to lay hands, spin the globe. We're going to find out where Saharari live. Put your hands right there, Tia, and we're going to close our eyes and pretend we're going to Western Sahara. You ready, Tia? Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're going to journey in the spirit. You ready? Let's count to three. One, two, three. You ready? Ready, set, go. Yes. Now, Tia, let's pray. Father, we pray. Say it behind me, Tia. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We pray for the people of Western Sahara. We pray for the people of Western Sahara. Father, we pray that your light will go to them and they will know your light. We pray your light will do.
Yes. Yes.
Amen, yeah, yeah. I say, amen, Tia. And then she said, I want to do another one. Yes. Can we do another one? Yeah. Hello, Mom and Daddy. Can we go?
Nah, but you know, they want to, he married a girl that he married his mother, really. She's a jalapeno pepper. She has a heart for the nations. Can you imagine what that felt like to me on my birthday for the kids that I've raised up in missions in Yugo to be deployed by Dr. Price? And have this whole ceremony, the Yugo babies I raised up being deployed to Namibia to be over the Frederick Casey Price school there and ministry there. And it just says to me, this is what we're supposed to do. This is what we're supposed to do. So what I want to unlock into you today, women, and I forget, nobody showed me a clock, but I better probably wrap up now because I don't want to get in trouble. But watch this. Because I ain't the Lindo sisters. I ain't old enough to get away with it. Daisy Osborne used to say sometimes it's easier to get forgiveness than permission. Don't try that here, okay? But what I want to leave with you is this. They just giggling. They think it's so cute. What I want to impart into you, I don't know if we have a minister here, but if there's one thing I know I'm called to do, I'm called to mobilize women. I'm called to take you out of a life of business as usual, and there are nations in you. Who in here, very briefly, is something in you, or you know it's something that God has given you concerning education and the public school system and rescuing our inner city kids? Raise your hand. Stand to your feet, those women. If I can possibly get you on this side of the altar very quickly. Who is it that has this passion in you for battered women? Where are you? Battered women, come on up here very, very quickly. Who are my human trafficking women? I didn't even have time to talk about human trafficking properly. It is a major need. My human trafficking women up on the stage so I can separate you. Who is the ones that I just have this passion for orphans. I love orphans. Ever since I was a little girl, there's something God's spoken in my heart about orphans. What about those women that are like me? I just love my, I keep widows around me so close. Ask anybody. I keep widows around me all the time, and I take care of them, and I see them. Because if you want a breakthrough blessing from God, find yourself a widow or an orphan or somebody homeless, and you touch the heart of God, and God say, what you want, girl? Come on. The widows. Who has a heart for widows? Oh, praise God. Do you know that you're a widow? This is a lost value in the church. We don't have ministry for widows in many of the churches anymore. Amen. You all are so special to God, widows are. I want the Lindo sisters, you three widows, they outlived all their husbands. Over there towards the piano. Go toward the piano and pray for all those who have a passion for widows. Everyone towards the piano over there. Widows, widows, widows. Speak to me some other things that God has placed on. What are the categories that God has spoken to you concerning women? Healing, women that are hurting, women in ministry, women in prison, prison ministry for women. Sit, get around her. And somebody else said, for those who need healing, homeless women, anybody that has a passion for homeless women, get with her. What did you say? Healthcare, amen. So anybody has a passion for healthcare, get with her. What area? Emotions, that's battered, girl, that's battered. Those, go with the battered women. Who else? Somebody else said homelessness and addiction. Who else is homeless, has a passion for homeless? Come on over here with her. And you all, before you leave today, exchange telephone numbers. Birth in each other's vision. Amen. Speak to me some other things you all have passion for. Everything we need is in the room. We just need to network together. It was somebody else that the whole battered thing. Like inner healing like that? Anybody else inner healing women with emotional issues? Go over there. Oh, there's your sister right there. There's your sister. Y'all hug each other. Love each other. Okay? Can't we all just get along? Get over there. And who else? What other areas?
Self-esteem.
I think that would be over there with them. Huh? There you go. Who said healthcare and nutrition? It was over there. Any other areas that I perhaps have not touched? Dr. Veronica, what is it in your heart the most as it pertains to women that you want to see happen in women?
I got a lot.
It's so much.
It's wow. Hard to one thing.
It's layered.
It's a lot.
Amen.
Give me a minute.
Okay. Anybody else? Huh? The youth have a passion for, oh my God, did we not say the youth? The youth. The youth. That's the primary women I'm after, the youth. You're going to have to come out of that line and go back. I need me a youth line. Jen, stand up. We need women that will go and rescue our youth. Well, the school system is over here, right? Oh, go over there with them. School system, yeah. Yeah. The youth. We got to get them, you all. We got to get them. Single parenting? Because let me tell you something. We got babies having babies, okay? Single parenting, can you just form another? Where are we going to run out of space, huh? Can you all just come right over here then, single parenting? Where was she who said it? Come over here. Anybody else single parenting?
I have a passion for mothers raising kids with special needs.
Oh, that's very, did you hear that? Mothers raising kids with special needs. Can you stand right here? Does anybody else have a challenge for mothers, have a desire for mothers raising? Why do you think God put this in your belly? Somebody else, mothers raising children. And guess what, you ladies? Every last woman under the sound of my voice was born to meet a need. You may not have been able to fully define any of it. Wherein, like Dr. Veronica, it's so much. But there may be some that have never defined any of it. But I came to say to you today, there's not a woman that, according to Genesis 1, 26 through 28, that has been created, I feel you, Father, in his image and his likeness, no one was called to sit idly by and watch life pass them by. And the Lindo sisters are a living testimony that it doesn't matter how old you are, God can still use you. What about nursing homes? What about the elderly that just want somebody to come by and just read scriptures to them? Oh, we can't bring them cakes no more because we got to eat right, but bring them something. Basket of fruit. Fruit, yeah, a smoothie, a fruit smoothie. That's a ministry. And guess what, women, the way God created you? God created you that you won't even feel fulfillment unless you've given life away. Guess what starts happening? You start feeling sorry for yourself and pity party, sitting around, won't get up and won't go live life. Guess what? Go live, give your life away. And the Bible says, he that loves his life will lose it, but the one that gives up his life, he'll gain more life. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I want to pray with you. Join hands with your sister around you. Make a little network. Make a little hubby curl circle around amongst. We got 18 more minutes. Just gather around. Gather around. Make little bunches. Gather around. It's time to change the way we do ministry. Even quote unquote women's ministry. We have to step up our game and begin to ask the Father like never before, where do you need us the most? We got 17 minutes and 35 seconds left. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you in the name of Jesus, Father God. We release the plan of God, the purpose of God, the call of God, the will of God, the destiny of God, the potential and the ability of God in these women. Women, start praying in the Holy Ghost very softly if you pray. Father, we come together with our sister and we help birth in their vision, birth in their calling. Father, we want to see them fulfill what it is that you've called them to just as much as we desire to. Now, Father, the burden that you've placed inside of our sister and the calling inside of our sister for whatever it is that she knows that she was born for, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, Father, and we believe that all the provision will be made. And we thank you that they'll be planted in a local church, Father God, where they can plug in and live out that which is a passion on the inside of them. Now, Father, we give birth to that which we believe that has been in their belly before time began. And as I see tears streaming down women's faces, I believe that they've been looking for someone to come alongside of them and to believe with them, and that the strong bear the infirmity of the weak, and we are our brother, our sister's keeper, and we bear up their arms in the name of Jesus, and we say you will live out what God called you to. You will fulfill the plan of God on the earth. And we pray for our children in the public school system, and we say, Satan, you cannot have our children. We say that MTV cannot have our children. We say that BET will not have our children, and pornography will not have our children, and drugs will not have our children. Help me, you all. And we just pray in the name of Jesus. We decree in the name of Jesus that homosexuality and lesbianism will not mark our children. And we pray for the plan of God and a revival to return into the public school system in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we lift up those who have a desire for the homeless, Father. And we thank you that your word declares, when was I homeless or without shelter and you took me not in? You said, when we've done it unto the least of them, we've done it unto you. So in the name of Jesus, Father, bring forth that plan and purpose that you place in the heart of your women concerning the homeless in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift up the widows. We come before you, Father. We need each other, and we stand together. And as the Lindo sisters are praying for them, and as they lay hands on these widows, and they come together, we want every last one of you widows to know that God loves you, and you are not alone, and he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. And the ache and the pain in your heart from the loss, we declare in the name of Jesus that he is your husbandman. And I don't know what it's like to be a widow, but you know, and I stand with you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's keep praying, women. We have 14 minutes. What group is this?
This is
what's this group?
Battered.
Father, we lift up every battered woman. We lift up, Father God, we've been told that in Chicago, the statistics are 697 calls for battered women every day in this city. 697 police calls for battered women. We command this to cease in the name of Jesus, that these women will know their esteem. Father, we command a release in the life of them in the name of Jesus. Father, we just come before you and we say that Chicago will not be known as the number one capital of battered women in our nation. I break the power over this in the name of Jesus. We decree breakthrough for these women in the name of Jesus. Father, we just come before you. Those that are in life-threatening situations, you bring them out. Cover them. Protect them. Help them, Lord. Let them know that there is help for them in the name of Jesus. And may they come to forgive the men that have abused them in the name of Jesus. What is this group? Father, those who have a heart for orphans, we come and we pray, Father, for the 10.150 million children that do not have mother nor father. We pray for them and we thank you that you've given this desire to your daughters to cry out for them. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you hear their cry. Father, that they will not leave planet Earth until they fulfill what it is that you've called them to do. In the name of Jesus, Father God, and every other category that's represented today. Father, we rise up today, Father God. We say, here are we, Lord, use us. Use us. And we know that what we make happen for other people, you will make happen for us. We love people. We care about people, Father God. And we are your express image in the earth. We are the mother side of God. We are the nurturing side of God. We're the compassionate side of God. We're the helping side of God. And we want the world to know that there is a God who cares. And there's a God that loves him. Do a work in our lives, Lord. That we will be the type of women, not just pulpit ministry, but women that are called to nurture, that are called to mother. The Titus 2 women, I decree, get with the young girls. Help groom them in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. 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 Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. As Dr. Pat is leading us, she is a doer. She has been around a lot of environments where people talk about the problem. But she is one that likes to mobilize people to do something about the problem. If it's okay, I'd like them to go back to their seats.
Absolutely, I'm done. Mm-hmm.
In these last few minutes, just think about how it felt to be with sisters with the same passion.
Whoa.
We know what it's like when God puts a passion and a desire and a compassion in our hearts and we have no outlet. It's just like there's a wide gap between the desire of our hearts to minister to the needs of women and the ability to just go out there and make it happen. We have responsibilities, we have work, ministry, family responsibilities, but the passion and the desire to minister to whatever segment of the population, it's there. Without a doubt, it's there. You're pregnant with it. And I believe that as we acknowledge that, Lord, I don't know how my part is going to be, I don't know how my part is going to be lived out in solving this need in the earth, but I'm committed. I am committed to do something about homelessness. I am committed to do something about battered women. I am committed. And that's the first step, the very first step. I tell people the first step in changing the world is changing yourself, is being the example of what you desire to see, is making your household and your family an example of what you desire to see. And she asked me, you know, what is the one area, you know, that I have a desire for? Every time I would go down a road, I have to come back up higher. Because I can't get involved in any one issue. But I believe my heart is for the local church. My heart is to see the local church be organized and sent forth according to God's blueprint. Everybody in the right place, flowing in their anointing, changing the world. So as far as women is concerned, empowering women to affect change. That whatever it is that you are pregnant with, being able to speak words and being able to network people together to just release you to do what God has called you to do. Families are on our hearts. Just families, marriages are so strong on our hearts. And I've not had a lot of opportunity to get involved in that. But God gave me a revelation. Now, you know that I've been over the prayer ministry for many years. But God showed me that I wasn't praying enough for my own family. That I wrote the prayer guide, and a lot of that is for nations, and so I'd spend a lot of time praying for other people, but not enough praying specifically for my own family members. And so what I did, I think last year, is that during my prayer time, God would just lead me, instead of vocally praying, write down a confession. And so with the latest addition to our family, our eighth grandchild is due any minute, any day. But I started praying for her while she was still in the womb. And just started speaking the word and speaking the word and speaking the word. And then God would bring other grandchildren to mind to just speak the word of God over them. And then our children, and then pulling out, instead of praying for three or four of them, pull out one of them because there's something. And then in addition to that, other saints that were raised with my son in the church who are not really serving God as they should. So as I pray for my son and for my grandchildren, I put them on my list by name. Not just, you know, it's a scattershot. You know, I pray for the whole body of Christ, but then I say, okay, show me. So if you were brought up in this church, God's got a call on your life. God doesn't want you out there. You know, God has a call on you. So I'll pray for them. And then different young people that I'll see that have a gift. Different young people that I see have great potential. I say, okay, I'm gonna put them on the list. I may not tell them all, but it's like, and as I start praying and speaking the word, I mean, who knows how we would have turned out if the word of God was constantly being poured out before the throne of God for us. And so it's like, from wherever you are, your first step is to know that you're committed to that cause, and however God's gonna work it, at least you will let God use you as a mouthpiece to speak words into the atmosphere that you might not be able to minister directly to those people. But if you pray and you speak the word and you let God use your imagination to see whole networks and whole corporations giving into that cause, you can speak that and you can decree that and God can do it. Let me give you an example. There is a man of God who was full of integrity, but somebody did him wrong and he ended up in prison. And he got out and he victoriously, he was found not guilty. But in my prayer guide, I have a prayer for people who are incarcerated for their faith, that they would sing praises like Paul and Silas, and God would protect them and set them free. And he's got a mighty powerful testimony. And I said, you know, that's in my prayer guide. I asked God for confirmation, because sometimes the prayers that we pray, they're serious. I mean, you pray them for years. You know, you don't necessarily see the results of your prayers immediately. These are like long-term. These are global things. I said, Lord, just give me confirmation that I'm not just bumping my gums. Just wasting time. Yeah. And every now and then he'll bring me something. Wow. And I say, yeah, did you know for 10 years we've been speaking forth that prayer? And I'm sure we'll hear about it in time. But I'm just saying that I'd like to provide a way that we can network so that we can go ahead and make this happen.
I love
that. And I'm thinking maybe if whatever your passion is, I'll have you to send an email to my assistant.
Ooh.
So write down this name.
I love it.
D, letter D, Carlie, Carlie,
awesome,
at livingwd.org. And send her an email and said, my passion is such and such. And then she can get all the emails of the people with the similar passions. And perhaps we can just have a five-step thing. The first thing you do is you just get a prayer or something. And then you all can start sharing your vision. You all can start praying. You all can start decreeing things. You can share, I had that idea too, and I had that idea too. And somehow, we don't know how, but somehow we can just start in prayer first and speaking those things. Amen.
Amen.
God bless
come on,
you
all. That's strategy. I forgot I'm on. Is that strategy? That's what we said about FMA. When you come here, you get everything you need. Let's give Sister Veronica, let's thank God for what he's doing. Women, don't walk out of here without getting that email. Get that email. So now, when this is over, now something will be in place to do something. Number two, let me get the Cruise with a Cause quickly. Flyer. Send me your single, your you, or even young. It's for whole families, actually. It's for the whole family to come. But I particularly want the young people, so the whole family is invited. You don't have to have the money right now. Just go to my table, and you'll see the things there. You need to at least sign up so that you can get the discount up under my name for that $400. So that's something you can do right now for your youth. Now, people have been asking the question. The youth or the whole family can come for $400 for 5 days, everything.
Do I have to have a passport? You will. But guess what? We have an agency that's in Washington, D.C. that will give that information to you, and then you as well can get the passport expedited. The other thing that women always ask me when I'm traveling, and they want to know, when can we go on a mission trip with you, Doc? They ask me that when I come as well. Here are the flyers that are here as well. These are the places we're going. We're doing a Sisters Empowering the World in Ontario, California, May 13th through 14th. In Brazil, we're going to be in Brazil. I think they're here as well, May the 20th through 23rd. And every last one of these trips have a project attached to it. South Africa in the month of August, Manhattan, New York, and we're invading Manhattan. September in the month of September, and Miami in November, and Atlanta, Georgia, November, and in Brazil, we're back in November as well. You get an opportunity to come and